you, Lord. We're in John chapter 10. I'm pretty excited to get a chance to go up to Vermont. I guess it's been 2 years since we've been up there. But the last time I was there, I got a very powerful dream of evangelism, very exciting one, like jumping out of buildings that are burning and all that kind of stuff, real exciting adventure, and dodging bullets and stuff like that for Jesus Christ, reach people and to save people. And walking on tight wire, whatever you call it, on edges of buildings and things. It was just a lot of that. Jumping through windows even, and just real powerful. And I was all stoked up. And that's when the Wednesdays started ticking off. It was after that. God gave the green light. Praise God. And all of a sudden, dreams were popping up about tents and expansion and God increasing. And you saw that happen in the summer. God has allowed us to expand over here. And so you saw the manifest reality of that come through, and a lot of other things we don't have time to go into now. But powerful things. God is moving, and I'm excited to go up there again. That's my little sabbatical. Not only see the grandkids, but also get close to God and have a time with Him. So I'm excited to live an adventure for the Lord Jesus Christ wherever that takes me. Who wants to go to Alaska? Who wants to go to China? Who wants to go to Port Byron? Who wants to go to crazy places? Who wants to jump out of airplanes? Who wants to do this kind of stuff for the Lord Jesus Christ? I do. Sign me up. Sign me up. Wherever He calls us to go, whatever He calls us to do, let's do it. And it's an exciting adventure to live for Jesus Christ. It's boring to follow your plans, to follow the desires of your own heart. I pray that God gives us the desires of our heart and just causes that darkness to spill out of our hearts, our own selfish desires, and He fills us with His desires, and they become ours. And the desire, that fear will leave, and you can do amazing things for God. You can jump over buildings, you can cast mountains into the sea, raise the dead, walk on water. All things are possible with God. There is no action hero. I don't care if it's Iron Man, Superman, Batman, what other action heroes we got? Thor? Spider-Man, Captain Crunch, Hulk. Those guys are Wonder Woman. Spoken. Let's go. Those guys are fun, but they pale in comparison to Jesus Christ and the power He gives you. Thank you, Lord God. Because He comes like no other superhero can do this. Batman can't do this. Wonder Woman can't do this. Captain Crunch can't even do this. And that's to get even inside of your heart and empower you with such strength that you're not afraid of anything. You're not afraid of anything. You can even love your enemies. You can do amazing things. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Praise you, Lord. I'm excited. I was just reading about somebody that did something. He went on an adventure. He came from his country, which was under war. Bullets are flying. Tanks are moving. And somebody invited him over to America and paid his way and made it possible for him to come over. And he came over here and he got real comfortable. Oh, it's nice and comfortable. Let's have some birthday parties. And let's get comfortable over here. And he's, the birthday cakes in front of him and all the comforts of America and McDonald's and all that stuff. And he's like thinking about his people back home. I'm just getting into this book. I'm going to finish it when I'm in Vermont, maybe. And he's thinking about that. And he feels the Lord tugging him to go back and die. Would you do it? Buy that one-way ticket? Come on, do it! Yes! Yeah, do it! Be excited for the Lord. Can you imagine if he stayed in America and stayed safe? Come on, give me a break. This life is a passing shadow. What you do for Christ matters now, man. Live for Him. Be bold. Allow yourself to go right out in the places of danger because He's called you there. He's going to part the seas for you. He's going to cause the floods to recede in front of you. Thank you, Jesus Christ. here he is. We're looking at Jesus while he was on this earth, walking around on two sticks, his legs, interchanging with people, healing people, touching the lepers, working with the enemies, and finally he would die. He would die for Landon. He would die for Brielle. He would die for Asher. He would die for Seth. He would die for Landon. I said that twice in case he wasn't listening. He would die for each one of us. He's dying on the cross thinking of Landon. He's dying on the cross thinking of me. He's dying on the cross thinking of Gretchen. That blows my mind. Even before I was born, I was there on the cross with him in his mind. My sin was there with him. All my righteous works, everything that I did, even helping that old lady across the street. All the things that I did that were good and worthy, crucified with him. Because it's all dirty diapers. Even the best thing that I've ever done, it's dirty diapers compared to his righteousness. I want to exchange it as fast as I can. As soon as I think I got something good on, I want to peel it off and I want your righteousness. I don't want to wear dirty diapers, God. I don't want dirty diapers on my head and on my body. I want your righteousness. As soon as I think I'm cool, as soon as I think I'm good looking, as soon as I think I'm something, I want to cast that off and decrease and allow him to increase, to put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Here he is. John chapter 10, verse 23. Last we talked about Uncle Maddie. Uncle Maddie's Hebrew name, does anybody remember? I know Seth remembers. Mattathias Yahu. He set the example for his sons, which would organize the rebellion against Antiochus Epiphanes, great armies. But as a good father, he stood up. He stood up for what was right. He put himself on the line. And then his sons would see that pattern and follow him. I'm completely blessed, completely stoked this morning. My fire is burning hot because my son texted me at 6 this morning and says, Dad, pray. Somebody came over to me this morning and came up and got me and took me for a ride because his life is ending. It's shipwrecked. His wife is leaving and things are happening. And he said, I don't know what to do. Tell me about this God. Tell me about this God. Father, stand up. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth every single day. It's worth what your kids go through and put you through. It's worth all that sanding that they do on you. It's worth it when you feel like you're all falling apart. And it's, God, I can't be this dad. I can't do it anymore. They don't listen to me. They walk on top of me. And whatever it is, it's worth it. It's worth it. Powerful witness flowed out of him this morning. It was beautiful, powerful things were happening. He was giving me the highlights. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for the mighty Yahoo that you put in us as dads, as parents, moms and dads. Lord, the example that we can set, it's worth it. It's worth it. John chapter 10, verse 23. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. This is Hanukkah. It's a bright time. There's a lot of lights going on. It's a wonderful celebration of the freedom, Mattathias, all of this. Judas of Maccabees, all of those things. You could read about it. Jesus is celebrating that. And then guess what? Any good celebration, you got some people there that aren't so friendly. They surround Jesus this time. Look at this. He walked in the temple in verse 24. Then came the Jews around about him. Surrounded him. You ever have anybody do that? Surround you? All of a sudden you're in the center. You can't go this way. I can't go that way. Can't go forward. Can't go back. They've got me surrounded. What do I do? Pull out my Nerf gun. What am I going to do? They've got Jesus surrounded. What is Jesus going to do? Let's take a look. Jesus, the Jews surrounded him, and they said to him, "How long are you going to make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." That's all Jesus needed to do, and he's going to do it. And they're going to pull the rocks out. Watch this. Watch how Jesus handles this. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Haven't you been seeing? Haven't you been watching the blind see? Haven't you been watching what's been happening, the lepers being cleansed? Verse 26, "But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." A few weeks ago, we were in Matthew 7 talking about that. Judge not, and then getting to that place of entering to that door that releases us from that place of judgment. We enter through a narrow gate, and on that process, it's like a funnel. You get stripped of all that stuff, that log, and can't make it through that narrow gate. You could try, you know, dunk, you know, I'm trying to get through that door of Jesus Christ with that 10-foot log in your eye. Just doink, I'm going to try it this way, maybe I'll try it this way, you know. We try, but he made it a narrow way so we can be stripped of all that garbage, that 10-foot log. And it comes to a place of knowing Jesus. And he talks about it this way, that there's all these people that say, "Lord, Lord, they do wonderful works, but yet they don't know me. I don't know them." And here we are in a place that's showing us what this knowing is all about. So a connection happening here. My sheep, here's the connection. Here's what it means to know Jesus. Hear my voice. My sheep, hear my voice. Folks, don't be so busy in your life with the toys and the things that we play with that you don't hear God. With the TV blasting, I got a TV over in this corner, I've got a TV in this corner, I've got a TV behind me, and a TV in every house, and I've got so much noise going on, I stop hearing God. This is the most important thing in our relationship with God, is that we're sheep and we hear the master. We hear the shepherd calling us. We hear him. We tune out from the world. We tune out from all the distraction and the noise, and we tune into Jesus Christ. Such an important verse. We need to say it together. Repeat after me. My sheep. Hear my voice.
Hear my voice.
And I know them.
And they follow me.
It's that simple. The gospel's that simple. We follow Jesus Christ. We don't follow a book of rules. We don't follow tablets of stone. We follow the one that fulfilled them. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, it says in verse 28. That's quite a gift. Thank you, Jesus. And they never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Demonstration time. I need a small person. Demonstration. Need a demonstrator. Come on, right up. We're going to demonstrate this. This is an important part of our belief. You can stand right there. Thank you. Your name, please? Brielle. Thank you. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall not perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Sawyer likes to play a game where with a soccer ball. He tells me, "Try to get it. Try to get it. Try to get it." All right? God's got us. God's got us the same way. Sawyer, that's a good illustration, because God's got us the same way. Nobody can get it. Nobody can get us from God. And I want to demonstrate that with the rescue grip. Maybe some of you have heard me do this before, Brielle. All right, we're going to shake hands. Ready? Nope. We're going to do it the rescue grip way. This is how God gets us. All right? Everybody see that? Everybody can see that? Notice she's not even holding on to me, but yet I have her. This is called the rescue grip. This is the type of grip that God has on us. So when we let go, he still has us. No one can pluck us out of his hand. No one can get that soccer ball, Sawyer. You are secure in Jesus Christ. You are secure in God. This will happen throughout our life. We'll go limp. This is normal to happen for every believer. But we need to have rise up in faith and feel the grip of God on us, and then we're strengthened to grab back on us. Terry read that this morning. Richard read it last night, and it's that Isaiah 41, that his right hand has us. So you get it now? That's the right hand of salvation. That's the right hand of rescue. He's got a grip on us. Great job, Brielle. She is fantastic. Amen. Thank you, Lord. My sheep hear my voice. Speak to us, Lord God. Help us to tune out, to peel off the parasites that are keeping us, Lord Jesus Christ, busy and distracted from hearing your voice. This is what it's all about. It's not about 401k and bank accounts and all this. It's about hearing the shepherd's voice and following him. When you're with the guidance counselor in school, what do you want to do when you grow up? I want to hear his voice and follow him. Try it. Why? Because he gives me eternal life, it says in verse 28. I'm never going to die. I'm going to live forever. This body is just going to be peeled off. It's going to be done with. I'm going to use it like an old glove. Then I'm going to step into the new body. And no man can pluck me out of the Father's hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. He finally answered them. Jesus being surrounded. Got a little teaching then before they pick up the rocks here. But he finally says it. Me and Dad are one. Here they go again. The Jews took up stones. Anybody want a rock? These hurt. And so do those Nerf darts you've been shooting around the house. These hurt. These hurt a lot, okay? These hurt, but let's take a look at this a minute here. Jesus Christ is declaring himself to be equal with the Father, but beyond even being equal, not equal like we're set beside each other in chairs and we have equal say. It's equal in oneness. They are one. I and the Father are one. The Jews took up the stones to stone him again. And Jesus answered and said, many good works I have showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And here's the answer. The Jews answered and said, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. You want to know what blasphemy is? Here it is. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. So he is one with God. Not just like equals, but one with God. He's making himself to be God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods, lowercase g. Very interesting response. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, thou ye believe not me. Believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. They sought again to take him. This time they're going about ready to dive on him and basically tackle him to the ground and do him in. But he escaped out of their hand. Somehow or another, I don't know if anybody has any ideas how Jesus would do that. Totally surrounded by people. Did he jump over them? Did he walk through them? Just kind of pass through? Did he dive under their legs? We don't know. But he was surrounded by these people that wanted to kill him. And he escaped them. Why? Because it wasn't his time. When it was his time, he's going to say, okay, now you can take me. Now my body is given for the world, for the sins of the world. But it wasn't his time yet. So you will see him do these great escape artist tricks here. So Jesus would go away again beyond the Jordan. Let's talk about this response that Jesus had, that ye are gods. Very interesting. This took me all over the place from Genesis on forward. where that first mention of us being gods came not from God, but from the devil. It was the half-truth that he gave us. On that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Satan said, "You won't die if you eat this fruit." That was a lie. "You will become like gods." That was true. "You will become as gods." Elohim. How are we going to become like gods? Made in his image. That's not what he was talking about. How are we going to become like gods? As children of God? No, that's not what he was talking about. We're going to become gods by knowing good and evil, by becoming Elohim, by becoming judges. This is an incredible truth of the reality of our human existence. It's the reason why we have wars. It's the reason why Cain and Abel killed each other, or one killed the other. Cain killed Abel, and then from ever since then, it's been one war after another. It's because of this, ye are gods. Ye are judges. Ye are Elohim. When Jesus said, "Do not judge," he didn't say it like that. He said, "Do not judge." You could feel this tie all the way back to Genesis. You could feel, sense it in the scripture. You could sense it in the spirit that there was a desperation there. Do not judge. He provided a path away from that place to be delivered from that log in our eye. And he became that door that strips away all of that as we enter in and believe on Jesus Christ. He becomes the judge. Now he's the good shepherd. We look to him to be on the throne. Let's take a look at Genesis 3. This really does help us understand a lot of things. It even helps us understand difficult things like Job in the Bible. Who can explain that book? God just wanted to show off? Is that what it was about? Job went through a process of suffering to such intensity that his eyes became open and he saw God. This was a new experience for Job that he never could have before except outside the suffering that he went through. Jesus took that suffering for us so we don't have to be Job and go through that same experience just to see God and have that same revelation. We can enter into the death and suffering of Jesus Christ and we could have that log removed so we can see God just as Job did. Job is an illustration of Jesus Christ coming to this earth, a righteous one. It says there was none like him on this earth. He was righteous. He did everything right. He even prayed. He even sacrificed for his kids, if his kids sinned. That's incredible. Yet God would bring him through this narrow door of suffering and bring people around him, surround him, that would be quiet for a while, then start pointing their finger at Job's counselors. "You must have sinned. They've got 10-foot logs in their eye." They each one standing around with 10-foot logs in their eye. And Job, with his being dislodged through the suffering, comes to that place where now he has clarity and he can see revelation of God. And he says, "Wow, oh, now God, why did you make me suffer and take my kids away from me?" There wasn't any of that. His eyes were now open to be able to see this creator who created me. Created him, and he repented in dust and ashes. He was totally blown away about this new sight that he had to be able to behold this God. It was all new now. Behold, all things are new for us. We have clear revelation of who God is through Jesus Christ. The suffering of Jesus Christ dislodges that log that's in your eye. It dislodges it. It breaks it away as you enter in through that narrow gate. Example personally. Let's look at Genesis 3, then I'll get into a personal example here. Here's where it went down, folks. Here's where Adam bombed. This is it right here, Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. It didn't look like a snake yet, very beautiful, till the curse. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Questioning the word of God. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither ye shall touch it. We're not sure where that came from. Lest ye die. The touching that part anyway. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. He begins with a lie. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know in that day ye eat thereof, what's going to happen? Look at me. What's going to happen? Eyes are going to open. Eyes are going to open. The eyes are going to open. Eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Judgment entering into this portal of the human being. Logs being inserted at that point. The knowledge of good and evil. We became Elohim, gods, with a lowercase g at that point. That part of the promise was true from Satan. The problem is we weren't designed for that. We're not righteous judges. Sawyer read this morning just a fantastic verse from Isaiah 56. I wish I found it, then I could take credit, but he found it. Just kidding. We'll give God the credit. Thank you, Sawyer, for bringing that up. Isaiah 56, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, keep your judgment, keep the log in your eye, and do justice, do the best you can with it, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. The old covenant, the Ten Commandments, all of that was to deal with people with 10-foot logs in their eye. Dealing with people that are judging right from wrong and dealing with us on that basis. All of that was to bring us not to salvation with logs in our eyes, but to bring us to Jesus Christ, who would strip that away and would be able to see God clearly. We could see God clearly with new eyes. Beautiful, beautiful passage there. When the woman saw back in Genesis that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and it was desired to make one wise, she didn't have any evil intentions. She was deceived. She took of the fruit and did eat and gave also to her husband with her. He was right next to her. And we'll see later on that he's just... we'll use that as an excuse. Well, you know, she ate it first, so I can eat it and just blame it on her. That's not going to flush with God, of course. And the eyes of them both were... what happened?
Open.
They were opened. Is this opened in a good way or opened in a bad way?
Open a good way.
This is not a good way. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and they made themselves aprons, and we've been killing each other ever since. Okay? They became self-aware. Their eyes were open to self. They were open to self-consciousness. They became ashamed of their nakedness. Why? Because they were on a place they didn't belong. It's like a naked baby being on the throne where the king should be. You know what I mean? You know, it just doesn't belong there. There's something wrong with this picture. So we stepped into a place that we didn't belong. On the throne of God, in fact. On this throne of judgment. So you'll see that struggle all the way through. The guys are in it, and Joshua, just seeing the wars, the struggle, all of the blood and the guts and all this stuff going on, all comes from that place there. We need to know that they sinned when they entered that in, and what that sin produced is what we are delivered from, that judgment. We're brought to a tree of life. Idolatry. Idolatry is a form of that too, of this Elohim, making an Elohim and an image of ourselves usually with eyes and ears. We start casting images of ourselves. We make selfies in our idols. That's a form of this log that we need to be delivered from. It's that self-awareness. It's idolatry. It's judgment that we need to be stripped from. Self-worship. Let's look at Psalm 82, what Jesus is quoting here as we finish up today. You guys are doing good. Just a short psalm. Wanted to get into Lazarus being raised. I was real excited to get to there, but I've been trying to. Psalm 82, this is where Jesus is quoting that ye are gods. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. You're going to hear in this short 8-verse psalm, you're going to hear judge, God, used a lot here. This word Elohim is used a lot. God, Elohim, stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods, Elohim again. So that word judgment is passing judgment. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. Elohim judging among the Elohim. That's pretty crazy. How long will you judge unjustly, O one with your log in your eye, and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to them, the afflicted and the needy. Deliver. This is proper judgment that God wants us to come to, but it's only going to come through His righteousness. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. You've got that log. Now you've got that place. You're on the throne. Use it wisely. The problem is we can't. We fail horribly here. The Ten Commandments prove that. We fail miserably. It's a tutor to bring us to the one that is the right judge, our great shepherd. Verse 5, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness. All of the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. That is our proper title. As a children As a child of the Most High. That's what we've been given. Being made in the image of God, we've been given that gift to be a child, a son or daughter. Adam was created to be a son. Eve was created to be a daughter, a child of the Most High. What we did when we bit of that fruit, Grandpa Adam and Grandma Eve, is we took away the child part of us and we rose to being the Father, making ourselves equal with the Father, occupying His position. Do you see the difference between being a child and being the parent? Satan says, you can be the parent. Come on up here. You don't need to listen to Dad. You don't need to listen to Mom. You can be like them. You can be on equal plane with them. That ain't right. That's not right at all. We are to be child of the Most High, but you will die like men. Verse 7 talks about the reality, addressing Satan in the garden. You will die. You will die like men and fall like one of the princes. Praise you, Lord God. That's even His grace that He put expiration dates on us, like the bologna in the refrigerator. He put expiration dates on us that we wouldn't live forever in that state of having that place that we don't occupy. We struggle through the rest of our life with that. Sanctification is our stepping away from that gradually. Salvation is Jesus' victory and loosening that up. And all through our life, that is being pulled out and is being rejected. It's a process. It's a tremendous process. If we only could get a grip on that and understand how difficult that is. That is not just a one-time-and-done kind of thing. We live our whole life going through that process of sanctification, of being removed from that tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, and having our eyes being cleansed. Every day, His mercies are new. We rise up looking to have clear eyes, Lord God. Help me see my brothers and sisters, my co-workers, my family, God, with clear eyes, that I can help remove specks, Lord God. You called me to be ministry. You called me to love, Lord God. Remove the log from my eye. Lord Jesus Christ, you call me to be a child, not to be equal with you. Not to be equal with you or judging you, God, as these people are, circling around you in this passage in John. Circling around you, pointing their fingers, just like they did at Job. Pointing their fingers and judging. Set us free this morning, Lord Jesus, as we conclude today, God. We want to be inspired, Lord Jesus Christ, to be totally free, to enter into the narrow gate and have all that stuff knocked off, Lord God. Work on us now, Lord. You are the potter, we are the clay. You are shaping us, Lord God. Mold us and make us like you, Lord Jesus. We put on your righteousness today, Lord God. We put on your discernment, Lord. The gifts of the Spirit are what we need, Lord God, to live, to go forward with. We pray your blessing over the heads here today, upon the people that couldn't be with us today, whatever is happening, Lord Jesus. We pray you strengthen them, be with them. We pray your blessing over our extended families that are represented here, Lord God, those that we've been praying for. Have faith, believe, trust, do not rust. Worry is a type of rust. Your body starts to oxidize. That's why you eat healthy fruits. They're called antioxidants. Your body is oxidizing. It's rusting because of worry, because of stress. God has called us to trust, not to oxidize, not to rust. Trust in Him. When we get that log out of our eye, it's real easy because we have clear vision of this beautiful God, just like Job did. Nothing matters anymore. All the past doesn't matter. All the hurt doesn't matter. All the pain doesn't matter anymore. We're beholding the presence of the living God. I pray for fresh revelations. We take our trip, Lord God, for refreshment, Lord. Recharging of the batteries, Lord God. Fresh vision for the people here. We praise and thank you, Jesus, for the gathering today. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory.